You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Deanne Jennings, and I'm here to share data and dive into the world of finance with you.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome aboard to New Retirement Radio on WTCM News Talk 580 with Prout Financial Design. Joining us now live in the studio, Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
It is great to be here. Thank you, Ron. On Thursday, February 16th, 2023, if you are listening live, today is a pre-recorded live spot, if you will. We're doing this with Mr. Ed Slott, CPA, nationally recognized IRA expert. And if you are listening to the rebroadcast, it is a rebroadcast as well on the 18th, Saturday. So welcome to each of you, and thank you for listening. Today, joining us as well in studio is Heidi Cartwright, Retirement Income Certified Professional and our Managing Executive. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning. I'm so excited to be here, and I'm really excited to hear what Ed has to say about the new Secure 2.0.
You bet. That'll be interesting. And joining us, too, is Deanne Jennings, our own Director of Operations, back there in the seat.
Good morning, everyone. It's an honor to be in this program today.
It's great to have you. And then joining us, too, is Nathan Prout, Ed Slott's own elite advisor. Elite advisor.
Good morning, everybody.
See, so Ed, we have three either master elite advisors, which include Heidi and myself, or an elite advisor in Nathan Prout. And Ed, let's see here. Let's look at what Ed is known for. He is an IRA distribution expert, professional speaker, television personality, and best-selling author. He has been named the best source for IRA advice by the Wall Street Journal. And U.S. Today wrote, it would be tough to find anyone who knows more about IRAs than CPA Slott. As president and founder of Ed Slott & Company, the nation's leading source of accurate, timely IRA expertise and analysis to financial advisors, institutions, consumers, and media, he provides, number one, advanced training to financial professionals, which is what we participate in, and then answers to retirement savers' most important questions, continually providing rather practical, easy to understand information on IRA, retirement, tax, and financial planning topics. Ed, it is great to have you join us today. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your busy schedule to join us here today on the radio.
Thanks, everybody. Great group you have there.
Thank you. Thank you. So, first question, which we're all wondering, waiting with bated breath. Of course, everyone wants to talk about the Secure 2.0 Act, which has been a major topic of conversation. But if you would share the two or three most important things, if there is such a thing to you, that you view as critical components of the Secure 2.0 Act first, if you would.
Well, I'd have to say there's nothing that critical in there, to be honest with you. It's not like the original Secure Act. And they tell me, I just heard your commercial about talking to teens and everything. So to be hip, they tell me when I compare it to the original Secure Act, if you want to be hip, call the original Secure Act the OG. And then we have Secure 2.0. Now, Secure 2.0 was nothing transformative or earth-shattering or a game-changer like Secure was. We've been talking about the Secure Act for a few years now. I mean, that changed, that upended most people's plans they had for all the money they saved for retirement. It ended that long tax deferral. We talked about the stretch IRA for decades, and that's gone. That's what the original Secure Act talked about. So that was a game changer, mm-hmm. the 10-year rule, all the changes in how IRAs will be paid out to beneficiaries. So now comes Secure 2.0. So that's my first comment. It isn't that kind of big deal, game changer. But on the other hand, there's over 90 retirement account provisions, lots of little things, some are bigger things that are kind of mixed in everywhere. So the first item, I guess the most obvious item, again, not a big deal, but things you need to know about, was the increase in the RMD age, required minimum distributions. If you remember, one of the best changes about the original Secure Act, after 30 years, we finally got rid of that half year, 70 and a half. If you remember, for 30 years or so, it was 70 and a half when you had to start RMDs. I think it was an original cruel joke. For years, nobody knew when they were 70 and a half, when they had to look up the table. Am I 71? Yeah. When is my birthday? When was I born? What table do I use? It confused so many seniors coming into a new area of distribution. So the best thing the Secure Act came out with is getting rid of the half, and they change it from 70 and a half to 72. But that confused a lot of people even more, but only temporarily, for their transition to age 72, because not everybody got it. They were different dates. Now we have the same thing. And there were a lot of headlines on this RMD provision, but the problem is today most people don't read beyond the headlines. So there was a lot of misinformation. Like, I saw a story out right after Secure 2.0 passed, and it said the RMD age raised to 75. That doesn't happen for 10 years. You know, when you read the fine print, you start saying, oh, wait a minute. All right. So it goes from 72 to 73 starting this year, 2023, but not for everybody. If you were already taking your RMDs, you can't stop and restart. It's like a cardinal rule in the tax law and the IRS. They call it the at least as rapidly rule. But the translation, the best way to understand the way IRS views these rules is like a water faucet. Once it's turned on, you cannot stop it. You cannot turn it off. So anybody that's already turned on the spigot because they've reached RMD age, whatever it was for them, they can't stop it now, so they continue their regular schedule. Who gets to use age 73? Well, I'll make it easy for you, because rather than giving the rules, what we did, we actually put the birth years down, so people only have to know the year they were born. And most people, well, some people know that. All right, so who gets to use age 73? Anybody born in 1951 through 1959, 51 through 59, you don't have to look up anything. I made it easy for you. You get to use age 73.
So, Ed, I'm guessing that would include you then. Is that what you're saying here with this schedule?
Yeah, that would include me, except it really doesn't. Do you know why it doesn't include me? Why I'm exempt from that?
No, I don't.
Because you don't have regular IRAs.
Yes, exactly.
Nathan wins.
Yeah. Let me show you my account balance. Oh, there it is.
You would have to mention that. Seriously, Ed, you've moved everything now to Roth. That
Not
was
now.
Once.
I moved it when I told everybody else to move it when they all
no,
opened the
No, I place. Said you have moved everything to Roth IRAs. Is that right?
Back in 2010, I moved it whole, like I told you at the meetings. I told everybody, in 2010, take that deal. And in case you can't note, that deal is gone now. But remember, before 2010, you could not convert if your income exceeded $100,000. Congress needed money. They eliminated that income threshold, and the floodgates of money, including mine, opened up. Except I got, like anybody else that took advantage, I got that deal. The deal was, matter of fact, Dennis, I always say to when I talk to advisors even who should know the answer, I said, I converted everything in 2010 under that special deal. And then I say, tell me, how much tax did I pay in 2010? And they said, well, we don't know your bracket. I said, because it's zero.
Right.
I paid zero. Zero tax to convert everything in 2010. Wow. Then the rest of the deal was you paid half of it in 2011 mm-hmm. and the other half in 2012. So mm-hmm. the government gave everybody an interest-free loan to build a tax-free savings account. So ever since then, and I got the luck of the draw because 10 years after that, even forgetting 22 was a down year, all that appreciation, just like I told people on your show, everywhere, I said it everywhere, I'm not just saying it now, all that appreciation for the last over 10 years or so, now almost 13 years or so, tax-free, all that accumulation tax-free. So RMDs don't apply to me, I'd like to say, so that was a trick question.
Fantastic. There's nothing more impressive than someone who eats, a chef, if you will, that eats their own cooking, so...
Yeah,
you
know, really, and everything I talk about, whether it's life insurance or annuities or IRA, Roth IRA, I've done for myself, you know, because I believe in it. My whole thing is financial security, and the best way to have financial security long term is to cut out Uncle Sam as a partner on your retirement savings.
Mm-hmm. You bet. So.
All right. So that's the RMD provision.
Right.
The RMD provision, you get to use age 73 if you're born 51 through 59. Another way to say it, who else gets to use age 73? Those who turned 72 this year. But then you got to figure, when was I born? That's why I gave you the birth years.
Now, what's interesting here is we've got birth years here of 1960 or later for those age 75.
Right.
So if it's 2033, someone born in 60 is not going to be 75.
Well, there's a mistake in the law, but I'm not going there because I don't care what they do. I figure in 10 years, it'll change 10 more times. So I'm not worried about 10 years out. There okay. is a mathematical error in the law. They had yeah. the wrong years. So technically, certain people born in 1959 will have two required minimum, required beginnings.
Oh, no. Well,
that's very interesting.
That makes it really clear.
So hopefully they'll get it straight by then. Indeed.
Yeah, they'll get it straight. So that's a big deal. They increase the age. But you could see even something simple like that is, you know, when you have a transfer, you know, you have to transfer to the transition, I should say, to the new age. Now, most people think that's a good change. I guess that's good because it gives you one more year before you go on the government plan, before you're constrained by RMDs. Because, for example, another year to do Roth conversions before RMDs kick in. And just to be clear, I'm not saying once RMDs kick in, you can't do Roth conversions. You can, but they cost more. Because once you're into RMDs, required minimum distributions, the first dollars out are the required minimum distribution. And that amount cannot be converted to a Roth. So the first dollars out have to satisfy the RMD first, which can't be converted. Then once that's satisfied, you can convert any part or all of the remaining balance. You can still convert, but it costs more because you first have to take the RMD, which can't be converted. So it gives you another year of planning to get more into your Roth before RMDs begin.
Okay, great. Now, Ed, we had a CPA on about 4 weeks or so ago. And he maintained, to put this in short, to outline this quickly, basically what he was saying with the Secure 2.0 Act was that it's congressional's, the Congress's own admission, if you will, admission, that they think they're encouraging all individuals to save more because Social Security was going to play a smaller and smaller role in retirees' income. How would you respond to that in his contention that it was an admission by Congress that they need to encourage savers more and more as time goes on to save for their own retirement?
Well, that's a good story. But the real reason they expanded Roths. That was another core item in the Secure 2.0, the great expansion. They want everybody to do Roths now. The reason, the real reason, is because that Roth money brings in revenue. It brings in revenue. In fact, they don't even hide it in Secure 2.0. If you look at the actual law, in the law, it's giant, giant font. Revenue provisions, and that's where you see all the Roth provisions. They're telling you we're using Roths to fill the gaps, to pay for everything else. That's one of the biggest reason they want an expansion. Yes, they want more people to put money away, but they'd rather have them put it away in a Roth so it brings in revenue up front. How does a Roth bring in revenue? Well, you get no deduction up front. For example, I'll give you a simple example. Let's say an employee makes $50,000 a year at a company, has a 401k. If he puts $5,000, defers from his salary, the $50,000, into a 401k, his W-2 will only show income of net $45,000. So when I say you get a deduction, people say, where do you get a deduction on the return? It's not on the return. It's already taken off the top because you're only paying tax. Your wages have been reduced, your taxable wages, by that $5,000. As opposed to if you did a Roth and your same employee, $50,000, puts $5,000 in a Roth 401k, he'll pay tax on the full $50,000. So the government gets more taxable income when you go to a Roth. Roth money, Roth IRAs, Roth 401ks, the only money that can get into a Roth is already taxed money, which is why the government loves it for bringing in revenue. And the great thing about it is people like it too, so it's a win-win. But the Social Security, yeah, that's a story. It's going to run out, but I don't worry about it, maybe because I'm older, like you, Dennis.
Yes, I get it.
No.
Born in 59.
What do we have in common? What do us old folks have in common, and why won't they touch our Social Security?
What do us old folks?
Because we vote.
Good
older
point.
People vote
yes.
more than anybody, any other block age group. They're not going to touch it in our lives. Yes, it's true what the other guy said about Social Security maybe running out of money, but it's supposed to be self-funding. You know, I paid in a lot of years for people, my parents and grandparents. So let the young people pay in for us. That's okay.
Yes, no worries there. So you would say it's not nearly as altruistic. It's more of a revenue replacement mechanism for Congress and overseeing the IRS.
Well, by law, Social Security is supposed to fund it. So look at the taxes we pay. So look at the wage. I think it's up to, I don't have it in front of me, $160,000 something before you top off.
Taxable wage. Sure.
Yeah, I think it's around 160. I don't have in front of me. But just to give you a frame of reference, I said I was old, but now you're going to find out how old. When I got my first job in accounting, I think it was in 76. I may be off on that. That's the year, but I may be off. The wage base for maximum Social Security was around 10,000, and I didn't make that much.
Wow.
And,
look where it is now.
So, Ed, I was just wondering if there was anything that surprised you that you didn't expect to be included in this most recent Secure 2.0, or maybe something they left out that you were hoping was going to be.
That's a good setup. most of that we did expect, because remember, these were hanging around for over a year. We saw different versions of these bills. If you remember, the Secure 2.0, the first iteration, passed Congress 414-5. I don't know who the five were that were against retirement, but there were five. Anyway, it had strong bipartisan support. So we saw all of these provisions. But the setup there is what was not in Secure 2.0 and a fix for this awful 10-year rule. The Congress set up this, I told you in the original Secure Act, they got rid of this great stretch IRA, no more. Now it's a 10-year rule. But then 2 years later, IRS said, you know what? We think we can't tell what Congress meant, so we're going to say that at least is rapidly rule. Remember the force it on and off? There's an old rule been in there. We didn't see specifically this Congress say that doesn't apply. So we're going to say that still applies unless they say otherwise, which threw a monkey wrench into everything. So we thought, remember Dennis, Heidi, and Nathan at our programs, we said originally, all right, 10-year rule, not so bad. You know, you don't have RMDs, as long as everything's emptied by the end of the 10th year. That's what we thought in 2020 when the Secure Act became effective. It wasn't until February of 2022 IRS wrote regulations and said, man, not so fast. Once somebody, an IRA owner, let's say, who has died, once they have turned on RMDs, that faucet is on. If they die after that, it cannot be turned off. So now we're going to say for that 10-year rule, because it seemed too easy, and we don't like easy. It seemed way too easy. How can we gum up the works and really throw people for a loop? So they said, you know what? There's RMDs in that case, somebody who inherited, say, from a parent that would say 75 already taking RMDs. Now we're going to say you have to continue RMDs, not on their schedule, but on your own schedule, like the old stretch IRA, which was just eliminated, but we'll bring it back just to make it interesting for years 1 through 9. So for years 1 through 9, these beneficiaries have the old stretch IRA, and then at the end of the year 10, everything has to come out. The problem is IRS didn't release this information until February, just about a year ago, almost exactly a year ago, 22. So it turned out some beneficiaries just then found out they had RMDs they didn't even know they had to take from 21. So then in October 22, IRS had to come up with relief provisions and saying, all right, you beneficiaries that were affected by that, you don't have to take, you won't pay the 50% RMD penalty, which is a serious penalty for those 2 years, 21 and 22, which effectively meant you don't have to take those distributions. So that created more confusion in a couple of ways. Some people thought, oh, good. Nobody has to take care. Again, they read the headlines. Nobody has to take RMDs. Not true. Only those affected people. So now in 23, we have a situation where the question is for those affected people, do we have to make catch-up contributions? Do we have to take them now? There's no penalty, but do we still have to take 21 and 22? The answer is no. What about the 10-year rule? Does it start over? Nope. You still have the 10-year rule as if you took it for 21 and 22, but didn't. So essentially, it's an 8-year rule starting now, depending on when you began. So they made it very complicated. And let's go back to Secure 2.0 now. I mentioned a draconian penalty, which you all knew about because we hit it at every one of our elite training meetings. And I'm glad that we have three of you that are 10 meetings now. Dennis has been with us a long time, but Nathan and Heidi also. Heidi's got a few years in there, too.
A few.
Yeah.
She's still pictured on your website, Ed. We're quite proud of that, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. No, well, so am I.
Well, that goes without saying, of course.
Yeah, that shows me you're committed to learning about these things. Even that little piece I mentioned, I can roll it off my tongue, but what does that mean to people? People are so confused. You know, it's getting so hard to take money out of an IRA. It's easy to get into it, but hard to get out of, kind of like marriage. It's so hard to get out of it. You know, I mean, really, it's so complicated in so many ways you can make a mistake, and a lot of these mistakes are irrevocable, including that 50% penalty for missing an RMD. But now, Secure 2.0, and again, I hate to be cynical or not a believer, but in Secure 2.0, that 50% penalty was done away with. Now, that sounds good, right? They lowered it to 25% and even 10% if you make up the missed RMD. But here's my problem. Almost nobody, because it was such a harsh penalty, nobody paid the 50% penalty. IRS waived it in almost every case to the dog ate my homework, whatever. It didn't matter because nobody, even the IRS, did not want to hit somebody with a 50% penalty. Now that's only 10%. Well, I guess we'll have to wait to and see if IRS will be as lenient if you missed it. From my point of view, I'd rather pay 50% of nothing than 10% of something.
So it might be a revenue enhancement tool for them.
Maybe I'm overly cynical, but it seems like we have to wait and see. The point is, you better be more diligent about taking RMDs, because it's more likely there will be a penalty, maybe only at 10%, than there was at 50%.
Nathan's got a question for you, Ed.
All right.
Yeah, Ed, so you were saying, you know, there was already the whole problem with them not calculating the birth dates correctly for the new RMD age.
Yeah.
Do you also trust this agency's ability to start enforcing these penalties and track all of these new laws?
You know what? I wouldn't take a chance. You know, that's like the old question, Dennis. We used to get this at the programs from the advisors all the time, where I would talk about this and be careful, don't do this, don't miss this. And somebody would always ask a version of what Nathan asked. Well, how are they going to know? And I would always answer, I don't know. Ask the guy in the cell next to you. Because that's not what we're here for. We're here to give, you know, help people do the right thing. How are they going to know? RMDs are the easiest thing to spot. First of all, they're, the box is checked, you know, whether you're subject to RMDs on the, I believe it's on the 5498 or the 1099R, one of them. And they know your balance because it's reported. That's reported on the 5498. And they know your birth date from Social Security. So at some point, they're probably a keystroke away of knowing anyone who missed an RMD. But it would be tougher on the beneficiaries. Those are the ones that are more likely maybe to miss it because they're just going to be so confused about when do I have to take an RMD?
No kidding. I was thinking, boy, as you were talking about the RMDs for beneficiaries, boy, we don't want to have a quiz on that. I don't know how many would pass it. I think it'd be relatively a slim margin at this point for sure. You bet. Ed, so the thing that you were surprised at, I don't recall you saying
what you were thinking or surprised
was not included.
I went through all of that, the beneficiary, the 10-year rule, the RMDs.
Right.
And IRS said, well, Congress, essentially they said in those regs, they said, well, Congress had, you know, wasn't clear about it. So we're saying those rules still apply. Well, now you had Secure 2.0 Congress. I mean, there was 4,000 pages, 350 of them on the Secure 2.0. They had plenty of room in there to put one line in and here's what we meant. But they chose not to address it. So it's more likely IRS will stick to its position on these rules. They had the opportunity. So when Heidi asked me what's not in the bill, that's not in the bill. There's no fix for that. So I think we're going to be stuck with that.
Okay. Let's change the subject from Secure 2.0 to the 2025 tax brackets here. They're supposed to go back up to the previous state.
Well, let's talk about 2026. After 2025,
right,
they're supposed to go back up. But this brings up a great point. You know, there are 3 years now. People don't realize how good they have it. Everybody complains. You hear me complaining about taxes. That's why I love tax-free. But now is the time to strike. We are in historically the lowest rates most people will ever see in their lifetime. And the jump, you know, everybody complains now. One of the big fears, they've been talking about it for years, inflation. Everything costs more. That's true, and that's bad. But when it comes to taxes, it's great.
Yeah, because it's been flat. It's actually been improved. People are paying less tax. Because the 12% tax bracket, as an example,
has expanded. All the brackets have been expanded. Because of the heavy inflation factor, the brackets from 22 to 23 had their largest increase ever. The rates haven't changed, but more money can pass, as you said, Dennis, the 12, the 24, all the brackets. And that's going to continue this year for 3 years. You got a three-year plan, 23, 24, and 25. Now is the year to put the pedal to the metal and see how much of those IRA funds you can get, say, to Roth conversions or use for life insurance, some way to get it into protected tax-free territory at rock-bottom low rates. That's the key to all good tax planning. Get it out when the rates are the lowest. Get taxes on sale, and they're on sale now.
So they're going to go up significantly, you would anticipate, in 2026. That's difficult
to
guess
at this
point.
Will it happen? Personally, I don't think so, because it's going to be a tough thing to get past Congress, because whatever party's in charge, then they're going to say, well, they're raising taxes. No, really, they're just putting it back where it was. But when you're used to something and tax rates go up, So I think it's going to be a tough sell unless something else gives. So I have a feeling I'm hoping we keep these rates. But if we do, remember, when the rates were slashed back in the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, through our budget deficits, I mean, we're talking about trillions of dollars now. So if they keep these, every year they keep these low rates, the deficits are going to get worse, which to me means at some point the rubber has to meet the road and tax rates are going to have to go up unless they just forget about math and keep kicking the can down the road, which is what they have been doing.
Before we get into the real questions, I've got a few left here, but talk about your most recent book and what you're hoping readers to gain from your most recent writing.
Well, it's called The New Retirement Savings Time Bomb, and it just got worse. Actually, it gets worse every time Congress meets. after studying tax law for over 40 years, I found one constant. Whenever Congress names a tax law, you can almost always bet that whatever name they give it, it will do exactly the opposite. So when SECURE, I'll give you an example of that. That old Budget Reconciliation Act. How's that working out? But when I heard the original SECURE Act, I said, hold on to your wallets. And what Congress did, and this ties into some of the things we talked about on this program, raising the RMD age, which sounds good, but it might be a trap. What Congress did is they felt in the original SECURE Act that people had, it's ironic, too much money in their retirement accounts. So on the other hand, we were talking about Secure 2.0. Congress is saying on the other side of their mouth, we have to let people, contribute more. But if they contribute a lot, then we have a problem. So that's what happened in the Secure Act. They were worried about people that had millions and millions or whatever in a IRA, a 401k. And as I said, they eliminated the stretch IRA because Congress felt that the IRAs and 401k should be for the people who contributed and earned it, the couple, the husband and wife, and not for beneficiaries, not as a wealth transfer or estate planning vehicle so the kids can party on for 20, 30, 60 years. And they said, no, we want to make IRAs a lousy asset to pass on to beneficiaries. Now, I just talked about in the earlier segment how complicated it is for beneficiaries to get that money out, plus the taxes all in 10 years bunched in. So Congress achieved their goal. It's one thing they did well. They made IRAs a horrible asset to inherit, to pass on as estate planning or wealth transfer. So the making that ticking tax time bomb I talk about in my book a lot worse. So the message is to get those funds. If you're building up more than you might use in your lifetime, you should be making plans, like I said, start taking advantage of these low rates over at least the next 3 years and start bringing that balance down. Otherwise, the more you have in these IRAs and 401ks, the more of it will be taxed in that, the more of it you won't spend. The larger it is, the more likelihood more of it will be left over to the next generation, which means they're going to have to pull all of that income out in a short 10-year window. When you do that, it gets obliterated by taxes, and that's even at today's rates. But imagine if rates go up and the beneficiaries, remember, we're not talking about kids. They might be 50, 60 years old themselves. They might be in their own high earnings years, so piling on. So the best thing you can do is look into things like Roth conversions where you can at least get rid of the tax problem now. Cut it off at today's low rates. Lock the rates in, even using life insurance. I have both of them myself. Where you can, I'm talking about permanent cash value. I don't sell life insurance, just so you know. But building up in life insurance and cash value, tax-free, and a windfall for the next generation, all tax-free. You want to, bite it off now if you can. It means paying some tax up front. But you want your retirement account. You got to look long-term. You want it to last a lifetime, not a lunchtime.
That's a very interesting way to put it. So you would say, in essence, Ed, to invest a portion of your portfolio and actually paying the tax today to avoid the tax into the future and, if possible, permanently in terms of tax avoidance.
I'm not the only one who said it. The old comedian, Penny Youngman, he was on to this 60 years ago. He said, I'm putting all my money into taxes, the only thing sure to go up.
A brilliant guy. So some plans,
right.
Some of the rule, run of the rule changes on Secure 2.0. Thank you. Thank you, Ron. Perfect. Allowing plans to provide participants with the option of receiving matching contributions to a defined contribution plan. Most people would say that's a 401k or profit sharing plan on a Roth basis. So do you think that will have any measurable impact for retirees
well,
here? Well,
that's another interesting provision. This is one of those in the Roth section where Congress likes the idea of pushing people to Roths because it brings in money. But in this particular one, first of all, the catch-up contributions must go, and for certain employees, must go to the Roth if the employee from that company made more than $145,000 the previous year. So high-income people, they're pushing into the Roth 401k, which I think is probably okay because they're probably going to be better off long-term, but it removes options. It removes choices. And here's another interesting point about that provision. If the company plan does not have a Roth 401k, not everyone does, then there can't be any catch-up contributions going there.
So they're going to, obviously, we're going to have some work done on these defined contribution plans in terms of getting them updated for today's tax laws, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, they still have work to do. In fact, in a little glitch in the law, not a little one, when they wrote the Secure 2.0, somebody accidentally, I don't know who was ever, you know, putting this bill together, deleted the catch-up contribution provision. So technically, they don't even exist right now.
Oops.
Interesting. Yes.
They'll put that back, so don't worry about that. That's okay. A glitch they'll fix in the next opportunity if something passes. They know about that. But the catch-ups must go to Roths if the employee earned more than $145,000 last year, which I'm saying it's not so bad, but they're being forced. Why are they being forced? It brings in revenue.
We have about 3 to 4 minutes left, and I just wanted to ask, I don't know, Ed or Dennis or Heidi, to remind our audience now, we have Ed Slott on the air once or twice a year here, but what is the status with, like, you and Heidi? You're Ed Slott certified. Can you tell us a little bit of what that brings to the table?
Sure. We're Master Elite Advisors. And Ed, if you would, go ahead and discuss what that means why you set
it's
this up.
It's the highest level of training. And I'm not talking about investments. I don't know anything about investments, to be honest. I use guys like Dennis. You know, I have my own financial advice. This is not about investments, where to invest your money. It's how to keep what you have. To me, that's the most important. We're talking about people for decades putting money in IRAs, rollovers, 401ks, building up long balances. They spent 20, 30, 40 years building, saving, investing, sacrificing so they can have something. But most people have most of their money in tax-deferred accounts like IRAs and 401ks that have not yet been taxed. The key is getting that money out at the lowest possible cost. It's what you keep that counts when it comes to IRAs and 401ks. And that's why I created this group almost 20 years ago. This year, Dennis, it'll be 19 years. In 24, it'll be 20 years. I created this advanced educational study group to help people do the tax planning. These accounts are loaded with taxes. The whole purpose is so people like Dennis, Heidi, and Nathan, if they're your advisor, they can show you ways to keep more of your hard-earned money. The average advisor is not doing that. They're doing their investing, and that's fine, and maybe they can make you money, and that's fine. But how much you keep is all based on how well you've planned. And it always comes down to this. Those who plan the most always keep the most. But to plan the most, you have to have somebody that's well-versed in this. So when you heard Dennis say he's a master elite, this elite group, this is not like a seminar. I know you see those things in the papers with all this alphabet soup after your names. And, you know, you went to a seminar online. You didn't go there. That would be too much effort. But you were online so you could talk, you know, know, do your TikTok while I'm watching and then get a credit after about a half hour. This is not what I'm talking about. This is a commitment. They pay. They invest their time and money to learn. We do workshops several times a year. They get updates. They have access to our IRA experts. When there's a question, they have people who know the right answer the first time. This is a years-long commitment to doing the planning that most other advisors just are not capable of doing because they don't invest in their education. That's why I'm always pleased to be on with Dennis or any of our elite advisors to let people know there are people out there that can show them how to leverage what they have and keep more and make more out of it and keep more of it and more of it tax-free.
Ed, well said. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thanks,
appreciate
Ed.
Your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ed Slott. And remember, you can always check in with ProutFinancialDesign.com. Dennis Prout & Company, 8th and Garfield in Traverse City. And Ed's books are... Ed, do you have a website?
IRAHelp.com.
Oh, look at that. IRAHelp.com.
IRAHelp.com. Or just put my name in Google. It'll
That's
come
right.
Up.
Look for Ed Slott there, Kip.
There's and then only... you go to the website and you look for Find an Advisor, and you'll find in the Michigan area advisors like Dennis, Heidi, and Nathan, and all over the country. There's not many. Of all the advisors, I don't know how many advisors there are nationwide, hundreds of thousands, I would guess. Only 500 have this elite status.
There you go. All right. Thank you, Ed. Thank you, everybody at Prout Financial Design. This is WTCM Traverse City.